The first reading is from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 19, which can be found on page 29 of the Pew Bibles. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob woke up from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid, and he said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. The second reading is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, and then verses 36 to 43, which starts on page 926 of the Pew Bibles. It's the parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weed come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up? "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then Jesus left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray? Wow, so loud. Let's pray. I'm on channel 2, if that helps in turning me down. Loving God, we invite you into this moment. Please take what I have prepared, and may these be your words and your message, not mine. Amen. Amen. Hello, I'm Stephen, if we haven't met. I'm lay pioneer for the Ely team, which mainly means I look after Christ Church, which is our new church plant, which meets in the Isle of Ely School up out there, which is a school in a field. That's how I like to do the action, a school in a field. And I'm tired. I don't want to say exhausted, because I know there are some new parents in the room, and we haven't compared notes. But I know I am tired, because I've been having more naps recently, and not planned naps, unintentional naps, when you think you're doing something, and then you wake up, and you go, oh, I was in the middle of an email, or I'm sure I wasn't at this part of the film, or gosh, my coffee's cold. And that is how I know that I'm quite tired. And I'm very glad that tomorrow I go on holiday, and then I can have a lie-in and sleep. But the reason I mention my tiredness and my unintentional naps is because having a nap, having a rest, is exactly what Jacob is doing in our story. He's on a journey, he's traveling somewhere, and he has wisely laid his head down for some respite. I say this because I am a workaholic. I work a lot. I probably work too much. And I'm sure I am not the only one who overloads their diary and fills it with lots and lots and lots of stuff. So if we take nothing away from this morning, let's commit to one another to take rests and to make space in our diaries to breathe. And don't just take it from me, let's take it from our creating Father. Because right at the start of Genesis, I mean, God's just done something pretty probably exhausting and made the universe and everything in it. I mean, if I was given that task, I would be taking a lot more than just one day's rest. But it comes to that, and then at the beginning of Genesis chapter 2, it says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing, so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Doesn't that sound lovely? That sounds really nice, a nice rest after making the universe. Marvelous. And the reason why I think resting is so important is because resting gives us perspective, because resting gives us an opportunity to see and hear what's going on around us. And I think we learn this through Jacob, that Jacob has taken a nap on this journey and God speaks to him. If you don't know much about Jacob, here's a little potted history. Jacob is the younger twin. The older twin is called Esau. Jacob and Esau belong to Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac being Abraham's son. Abraham, who went up the mountain to slaughter Isaac. But, oh, it's all right, God stepped in. That's the family we're talking about this morning. And Jacob has probably made things a little bit difficult in the family home by, one, exchanging Esau, his older brother's birthright, for some soup. And then secondly, at the encouragement of his mother, he steals his older brother's blessing, which I believe means that Jacob, although being the younger twin, now should inherit everything and is now like the leader of the family. So I expect probably not a great family situation. That's not a family home I would want to be in with that tension, personally. And from this place, Jacob has left. He's gone out and he's on this journey. He's on a journey and he's taken a nap, and into that nap, God speaks. And God gives this slightly bizarre image of a ladder and some angels, and God's at the top, and he's having a chat to Jacob. So let's unpick this a little bit. The ladder, well, as Chris just showed us, a ladder connects you to something which is higher, something which is above you. The important thing that Chris said is that actually there was also a sense of coming down. Earlier on in Genesis, the people gather together and they try and build a tower to connect them to God, the Tower of Babel. You might know that story. But we read in Genesis that their motive for doing that is not about connecting with God. It's about fame. They're doing it for their own purpose, not so they can have a relationship with God. But in the ladder we see now, or the staircase, as some versions of the Bible talk it, we've got angels going up, and angels coming down. And I love this. Here's a question for you to ask each other over coffee. If angels need to use a ladder or a staircase, do they have wings? There we go. That's your coffee time question to ask one another. Do angels have wings? Something for you to mull on. But what we do know about angels in the Bible, wings or no wings, is that they are messengers. They bring news from God to people. Like in the Christmas story, which we celebrate, obviously, at Christmas. It'd be bizarre to it any other time. An angel appears to Mary and is like, "Mary, I've got some good news. You're going to have a baby." And Mary's like, "What?" An angel did that. And what I really like about this image is angels, in a way, carrying our prayers, our messages, up to God. And then the bit that I'm never any good at, messages coming back down from God. And the important thing about when we have time to rest is we have time to hear those messages that are coming back down. We have time to linger and keep our ears open to see what God is saying to us in response to or before what we have said to him. And I think that's really important. And then the other marvelous thing is that God does some talking in this vision. And the first thing that I love that God says quite a lot in the Bible is, basically, "I'm God." And that is such a relief to me because it means I don't have to be. And you don't have to be. Chris doesn't have to be. Vicky, you don't need to be God. Phew. Nothing about your godding abilities, Vicky, but I'm just saying we don't need to be. Yeah, you've got plenty on the plate. But what that means is that we don't need to be everywhere. We don't need to know everything. We don't need to put that pressure on ourselves. Because actually, God has got that under control. God can see everything. He can do everything. He knows how everything is going to tie up. And the other marvelous thing that he says is he reminds Jacob that he is the same God of his father and of his grandfather. And that's really important for this reason. Often, as I'm approaching a task, I go, "Oh God, this mountain looks pretty big. I'm not sure we're going to be able to do this." And God's going, "If you just turn around, would you look at the Himalayas we have climbed together over your life? And was I not there through every one of them? Have we not already achieved those mountains and gone through them?" And what God is saying to Jacob is, "I'm the same God that got your father and your grandfather through all those tricky situations, that went with them and stepped with them on every journey in their life. And you know what? I'm going to be with you on every journey in your life." And I think that's really important. And sometimes when we're too busy and we're rushing around too much, we lose perspective of that and we lose the fact about where God is. So I lead Christchurch, which is marvelous. And we've been going about 18 months and we meet up there in a school in the field. That is the official sign language. It's not. But I'm quite a self-critic, and I'm quite harsh to myself about things. And then it came to PCC on Monday night, which is Parochial Church Council, just a group of people who govern this. It's great. And I, every time we have these meetings, give feedback about Christchurch. And on Monday night, I was a bit gloomy, because sometimes you just focus on the downs. But thankfully, Chris was there to share the ups. It's not all bad. Like, here's this that's happening, and here's this that's happening, and this good thing is happening. And sometimes when we're weary, we lose sight of where God is at in our lives. And I was very thankful to Chris for going, "It's not all bad. It's actually, there's some quite good things happening." And that's why I think rest is really important, for the perspective that it gives us and the awareness for us to like unclog our ears, wipe our eyes clean and go, "God, where are you in this?" And we only have the privilege of doing this, I think, and the ability to do this because of Jesus. And in John, at the end of John chapter 1, Jesus says basically that he is that ladder. He is that staircase. And I think that's amazing. That one day God perhaps looked over the earth and went, "My heart aches because my people are no longer close to me. I've known intimacy with them, and they don't feel near to me anymore. You know, I've tried a flood, and that didn't work, and I promised I wouldn't do that again. So, earthquake, no. Perhaps a tornado, no. You know what? I'm going to do something different this time. Jesus is going to go. He's going to catch them off guard by going as a baby. Whoa. And as he grows up, he's going to teach
and he's going to share what I am like. We're going to start small this time, just with a few people in and around Jerusalem. But you know what? It clearly worked, because we're talking about it here in Ely. That's pretty impressive. That's the most amazing grassroots movement. And of course, this Jesus then went to the cross for each and every one of us. The most amazing act of love, so that we could each personally have this relationship with God. The God who made that universe, a God who also rests, but a God whose I know, whose name is love. And if God is love, which I personally believe it is, he is, then God is all those things in Corinthians that we read at weddings, that God is patient and God is kind. He is very slow to anger, and I know that because I'm sure I test his patience a lot. I'm probably darn irritating to God, I'm sure. But God is wonderful, and the love that God has for us does not abuse and does not misuse, but it is healthy, it is honest, and it is a happy, genuine love, which can only bring good things to our lives. So I guess my summer encouragement to you as we start this 6 weeks of school holidays, or if school holidays mean nothing to you, just this summer August period, is where are your moments of rest? When do you get an opportunity to sit and talk to God? And not just do the talking, but also the listening. Because it's from that connection with God that then we start to see where he is working in our lives, and then we know what to do. That's always been our kind of motto at Christchurch, is where is God working, and let's join in with that. Because that's a much better thing than trying to do loads and rush around and go crazy, and then for God not to be in any of that. And that God we have connection with is a loving God who amazingly made the universe, but wonderfully also cares about each and every one of us. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who came to earth, died on that cross for us, but in that, built that bridge between us and you, so we could live, and not just live, but live life to the full, to have joyous, wonderful lives. Help us make space in our lives to rest, to lay our heads down, to rest our weary feet, and come before you like you say we can, to cast our burdens onto you, and to see what you have to say. May we always know that we are loved by a good God whose name is love. Amen.